Announcements, and then we'll continue with the worship. Valentine's banquet's coming up on the 11th, and it doesn't matter if you are married or single, doesn't matter. Just sign up and come have a good time. All you got to bring is a side dish or a salad or a dessert, and the church is supplying the meat. And it's Friday the 11th at 6:30, so there's a sign-up sheet over there. Please get your name on there if you haven't already. Our Bible studies have resumed. The men met Thursday night, and we had prayer meeting as well. And the women start this Tuesday at 6:30, Psalm 91. And so hopefully you guys will come out for those things as well. There's going to be a fundraiser, too, for the youth. Doug and Janet have put together some really nice baskets, and I don't think they're here today, but you're able to buy raffle tickets for those as well to help the youth go to camp. And there's a spiritual gift workshop this Saturday, and so there's a sign-up sheet there as well. It's from 9 to 3 on Saturday out at Lake Los Angeles. And if you need more details, give me a call. But it's a really good workshop. Charlie Spielman is giving it, our director of missions. Quarterly business meeting at the end of the month, 30th, after the service. Everyone's encouraged to that. And the movie night, January 28th, so that'll be a week from this Friday, and we're going to begin season 2 of The Chosen. We'll be showing first couple episodes. You know, we do it based on how long. We try to make it fit within about 90 minutes or so, 2 hours. So we'll see what it might be, 3 episodes, depending on the length. I haven't even looked at it in a while, so I'm not sure how long those episodes are, but we will show at least a couple of them, And so hopefully you guys will come out for that as well. We just had the movie night, a week, 10 days ago or something like that. And we had a good time with that. So look forward to doing this. And then we got a movie, we're waiting for it to come in, but it's called Show Me the Father. And we're going to be showing that as well at some point here in the future as well. So have I forgotten anything? I think so. Okay. Got a nice hum, don't we?
So, I can fix that.
Huh?
I can fix that.
You can?
You don't hear the hum.
I heard it. But anyway, boy, I just totally didn't do it. You put an announcement slide on there, huh? Okay. Today's verses, although I am preaching out of Matthew continually, this is an account of the same passage in Luke that gives a little bit different details. So I thought I would read that this morning. But we will be preaching out of Matthew today. But Luke chapter 5, 17 through 20. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And I'll stop for a moment and just say, take note of that word heal, because I'll be talking about it. It does not appear in Matthew. But I will be talking about it in this sermon. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. He was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you and recognize, Lord, that we are indeed broken in many ways. But we praise you and thank you that you have indeed healed us of our most dire need, which is our sin nature, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you forgave our sin, healed our spirit, made us your brother, the sons and daughters adopted into the family of God, joint heirs with you, Lord. We thank you for that, and we praise you for that. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified this day, Father, that as we come before you with song and with word, that you would be lifted up, Father God, for you are worthy. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Kathy has informed me that the Easter special is on the way. Those of you that would like to join us for singing, it'll be the usual Wednesday night 6:30 time frame, and we'll get that started off. So I can't even get that out. I hope y'all had a good week. Goodness gracious. I brushed my teeth this morning and now I can't do anything. Hope I can sing. Join us as we sing, please.
Stay today without him I will.
beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
We'd all like to have him for our best friend.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning star. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angels is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promise. You are faithful, and nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful, you are faithful, you are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
stand and greet somebody. Tell them it's good to be here in the house of the Lord.
Good to see you.
Greeting.
Last weekend. Here we go. Special we're going to do, and the title of it is What a Friend, but it's not like it's in the book. I've already warned Jim. Anyway, Kathy brought this to me. She says, I think this would be a good song, and I said, hey, who's going to do it? She said, you. Yeah, okay. So anyway, What a Friend. Thank you.
In those songs. Power to make whole. In Matthew chapters 8 and 9, they're showing us Jesus' authority and power in a variety of areas. His authority and power over disease, over the elements, even over those possessed with demons, the demons themselves. We saw that last week. And now in this passage, Jesus demonstrates both his deity and his ultimate purpose, which is to make us whole. That's his purpose. That's why he came. And for our sake. To make us whole. And, you know, whole, it means your whole being. It's your body, your soul, and your spirit. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning. And we'll just jump right into it. Verse 1 of chapter 9 in Matthew. And we see the people receive Jesus. And it just simply says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city." And he's just come from Gergesenes. Okay. I wish they'd use some other letter than G in that town, but it makes it hard to say, and at least in our language, Gergesenes. And remember, he was in Capernaum, and he was doing all these healings and casting out demons, and the multitudes came, and a couple people even came and said, "I want to follow you." And then you know, he said, well, you know, you think you want to follow me, but, you know, here's some things. This is what's going to cost you, you know. So he went through that. And then he got on the ship, and they went across, and the storm got really bad, and they thought they were going to perish, and he stilled the sea, okay. And they came across to the country of the Gergeses, and the people there, a couple of guys that were possessed, and he cast the demons out, and they went into these pigs, and the pigs went into the water and drowned, and the people came out there, and they said, get out of here. They said, you're killing us here. You know, and they were all thinking about the money, thinking about their own selfishness, not about this was the Son of God. This, you know, here's somebody that can do something in your life. No, it was purely selfish. And so they rejected him. They said, please leave. And so he has left. He got on the ship and they came back. And here it says he came to his own city. And this city receives him. I mean, they don't all get it. They don't all understand who he is exactly yet. But they do listen to him. And the multitudes do flock to him, even in this. They were flocking to him before. And we see again, if you just look at verse 8, but when the multitudes saw it, so the multitudes were back, you know, when he came in for this account with this paralyzed man. And so they receive him. And we need to remember, that while, you know, we are here to share the gospel, we are here to impact people with the truth of Jesus Christ. And there are going to be people that are going to be offended. There are going to be people that are going to say, you know, please leave. I don't really want to hear this. There's people like that. But we got to remember that others will welcome him. Others will listen. And we just need to be faithful in being ready at all times to share our faith in whatever way that may be. Sometimes it's through a testimony. Sometimes it's just through a comment that makes people think. And then maybe they ask you some more questions or whatever. And some will definitely say, you know what, you're going down that God road and I don't want to hear it. You know, I got my own thoughts on that. Well, you know, Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet if they won't receive you. But the ones that will, we ought to share. And we need to remember this because sometimes we get a little discouraged or, you know, nobody likes rejection. Nobody likes to start to say something about what you really believe and then they just kind of slam the door on you. And I've had that done figuratively and literally, have the door slammed on me and such. And nobody likes that. Nobody enjoys that feeling. But, you know, honestly, I just kind of have pity on them because they're rejecting the only hope they really have. And that's Jesus Christ. It's not me. It's the message I bring that they're rejecting. You know, they're rejecting him. They're not rejecting you. And you got to understand that. Don't take it personal. It didn't matter who came up to them and talked. They weren't going to listen. Okay? So it's not you. It's just your message. You know, and just like Jesus, they wanted him to leave, so he left. And when people want me to leave, I just leave because there's always someone else that will listen. Okay? So, just kind of remember that. So then we get into the actual thing here. In the first part of verse 2, it says, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, or he's paralyzed, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Now, this part wasn't in Luke. It just said, your sins are forgiven. But in this, in Matthew's account, it says, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. And we see here that the people reached out to Jesus. These four, we assume there's four because the bed usually has like four corners to it and you got four ropes perhaps to lower this guy down. Because what Matthew doesn't share, which Luke does, is that these four friends of this man, you know, he's paralyzed. They've seen what Jesus can do. They believe and they're reaching out to Jesus. And the only way you reach out to Jesus is in faith. And he said, you know, seeing their faith. And so just three things on faith. When you reach out to Jesus, it's got to be with a strong faith. Now, I know you only need the faith of a mustard seed. You know, you may not have a ton of faith, but you got to have a strong faith because you got to believe. Okay? You got to believe. And you know, these guys, they firmly believed that Jesus could heal their friend. They believed. Strong enough that they overcame a lot of obstacles to get to Jesus. And you know, there's always obstacles to do what's right, it seems like. There's always obstacles. But you have to just know, you know what I am doing is right, and I just need to do it, no matter what the obstacle. And you know, sometimes it's easy to do what's right, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's very difficult to do what's right. And sometimes you're just, it seems like you're getting nowhere in doing what's right. But these people, they firmly believed that Jesus could heal him. And but you know what? It's not just a strong faith, but it's a simple faith. You know, like a child. You know, a child just believes. You can, you know as well as I, if you had small children, you can tell them anything, they'll believe it. Because of who you are. They're trusting you. And sometimes we tell them things as a little bit of a joke, you know, and they believe it and it's really not true or whatever. But a child will believe. It's the faith of a child. And Jesus said, you know, you got to come to God with faith like a child. Because we get cluttered. You know, our minds, we get cluttered with a lot of stuff. And we get into the what ifs and, all, you know, this stuff happened and that's really complicated. And Jesus said, no, it's not complicated. Just come to me like a child. And these guys had simple faith. You know, they had a humble faith. I mean, you think about it. They have a paralyzed friend. There's multitudes all around this house where he was at teaching. There's tons of people. And, you know, there was no way they were going to get through there with a bed. But maybe one guy could have got in there and said, hey, Jesus, will you come to my friend and leave all these kind of people, you know, in the cold here, but come and take care of my friend here. But they chose not to do that. You know, in humility, they said, we got to get our friend to him. Because our master's doing these great things here. He's speaking and he's teaching and there's a lot of people here and we need to get our friend to him. It's just a simple faith, a humble faith. It's kind of like the centurion had a humble faith, you know. Jesus even offered to go to the guy's house. And the guy goes, no. No, you just say the word. It's good. It's good. It's just a humble man. You don't have to come to my house. My house isn't worthy of you. And you know, sometimes we just got to kind of break through all that stuff we got going on in our minds and what we deserve or, you know, or whatever. And just get humble and just say, God, it's not what I... You know, those Social Security or Medicare commercials... I'm calling to get what I deserve. And I always think, you know, if you knew what you really deserve, you'd be worried about more than your Social Security or your Medicare. You know, what do we deserve? You know, I'm glad I don't get what I deserve. And so, you know, all that to say, you know, sometimes we look at things through what we, Lord, I, you know, I followed you, you know, as if that exempts you from something. I mean, it's been my experience looking in the Word, the people that had faith endured a lot. And, you know, and they recognized that they deserved hell and they were just kind of happy they weren't going there. And that's kind of the lesson of this whole passage, as we will see. So even though the man could not walk, they didn't ask Christ to come to him. They took the man to Christ. And third, they had a serving faith, an active faith. A serving faith. They served their brother, okay, the guy, their friend. They served him by getting him to the master. And then it wasn't, you know, all that easy because they, what did they have to do? As we saw in Luke, the throng was so great they couldn't get through. So, you know, and those of you that saw The Chosen, I think it was in the first season. I think we showed it. Mm-hmm. And they got up on the roof and they take apart the roof. You know, that's some work. Can you imagine? You know, I was such a great orator. There were throngs out here and they were trying to get somebody in here. And all of a sudden the roof, you know, Harvey would have loved this, but they, you know, took a hatchet to the roof and cut a hole right here and dropped some guy in here and says, "Hey, this guy needs to hear the word." You know, I mean, that had to be kind of crazy. But sometimes it's work. It's an active faith, folks. And no matter where we're at in our life, no matter what our abilities, because our abilities change, you know, especially as we grow older, you know, you can't do the things you used to do. But God doesn't call you to do the same thing your whole life. You know, sometimes you may be, you know, doing more physical things to serve. And then as you get older, maybe you have to do more, I don't know, spiritual things to serve, you know. It's all needed. Sometimes a word of encouragement. You know, you don't have to be in any kind of shape to encourage somebody. If you're just able to pick up the phone and talk, you could encourage somebody. That's active faith. It's saying, you know what, I'm going to serve God whatever way I can as long as I have breath. I will praise the Lord and serve Him. It's a serving faith. And in their faith, they brought the man, bed and all, to the Lord. Then we see in the second half of this verse that Jesus reconciles the man. He forgives his sin. That's what reconciliation is. You know, we were separated from God, but when we asked Jesus, He healed us spiritually. He forgave us of our sin and reconciled us to the Lord. And that's what happens here. And it says, seeing their faith, He says to the sick, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. You know, consider the scene. Think about it. You know, he's in a house and apparently there's windows or openings or whatever, and there's a throng of people around this house where people can't get through. And not only that, in the audience, you have the Pharisees, the scribes. It mentions the scribes in Matthew. In Luke, it mentions the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. You know, from all the towns of Galilee, so there's a ton of these guys there, along with all these people. And, you know, the people are all excited. I'm sure the Pharisees and scribes are probably sitting there going, okay, let's see what this guy's all about. You know, they're not there because, you know, they're just taken up with him. They're seeing, what is this guy about? This guy is saying some stuff, and he's drawing the people, and we're a little concerned about this. So they're kind of there to check him out. But you got all this going on, and the crowd's looking at Jesus, and then these guys get up on the roof, and all this stuff. And you can imagine, everybody probably stopped, and they're watching this guy comes down, and all these people are looking right at the scene. What did Jesus do? He ministers to the man. And it's interesting because right here, he doesn't heal him. In fact, he kind of says an interesting thing. He says, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And you know, ultimately for us, that should be enough. That should be enough. We have really, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've, you know, you've recognized what you deserve, okay, and you've gone to the Lord and you've asked Him to forgive you, and He has, no matter what happens after that, you should be cheerful. We should be cheerful. And I know most of us, if not all of us, we're not always cheerful. Okay? I mean, that's just true. That's just human. But that's where the mind has to take over and just go, you know what? Yeah, all this stuff's happening, but you know what? Praise the Lord. You know, I can serve him, and I'm good. No matter this craziness that's going on in the world, the stuff that may be going on in you personally, whether it be a health issue or a financial issue or whatever it might be, relationship issue in your life, maybe that's not going well, whatever, but you know what? You can be cheerful because your sins have been forgiven you. And we need to remember that, folks. Because you know what? And I said it earlier, I think, in the prayer. You know, everybody's broken. You know, we're all broken in some way or another. We all got stuff going on. And if you focus on that, yeah, you'll be a miserable person. Jesus said, you know what? Yeah, you're paralyzed. You're on a bed and you're paralyzed. But you know what? Be a good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus encouraged him and forgave him of his sin. He saw that the guy had faith. When you in faith go to the Lord and ask him to forgive you, he forgives you. In his grace, he saves you, but it was because you put your faith in him that his grace was poured upon you and me. He encouraged him and forgave him. You know, that ministered to his soul and spirit. Remember, I've taught you the soul is what? The mind, the will, and the emotions. That's your soul. And our emotions are all over the place, aren't they? I mean, we can be up one minute, down the next. We can be all over the place. In this case, this guy apparently, you know, I mean, I can imagine. You know, you're paralyzed for however many years it was. Maybe his whole life. I don't know. The Bible doesn't really say. Maybe he was older and had an accident. I don't know. But he was paralyzed. And in that day, you basically, that just means you're a beggar. And you're completely at the mercy of anybody that might help you. And that's it. You got nothing else. And I'm sure he was down. I'm sure the guy was down. And maybe, you know, and then they heard of Jesus and they saw these miracles. And now he's got hope. And Jesus ministers to his soul, to his heart first. Be of good cheer. Then he ministers to his spirit. Says, your sins are forgiven. Wow. Then it starts getting interesting. There's always those. Anytime God does something good, okay? There's always those. And behold, I like the way that's written. And behold, you know, it's like a mighty miracle has been performed, okay? This guy has got his sins forgiven. He's told to be, you know, and it says, behold, look at the Pharisees. You know, look at the Sadducees. Look at the scribes. Look at these doctors of the law. It says, behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, they didn't even have the nerve to say it out loud. They said within themselves, this man blasphemes. Okay, blasphemy, it's just simply attributing attributes of God to someone that's not God. I mean, that's basically it. So what made them say that? Because only they were right in this. Only God can forgive sin. Okay? You know, I can forgive you of your sin all I want, and you can think that's really cool, but that's not going to get you to heaven. Okay? Only God can forgive sin. Only God has the authority and the power to say your sin has been forgiven. You know, it's just like being guilty in a trial. And the judge says, you know what, I'm going to forgive you of that penalty. You are free. You don't go to jail. You don't even go on parole. You are free. Your sin has been forgiven. The crime you committed has been forgiven. We've forgiven you of that debt to society. That's what it was. And they're like, well, in their minds, they're like, well, only God can do that. That's blasphemy. Little warning here. The Lord has perfect knowledge of all we say within ourselves, folks. He has perfect knowledge of all we say within ourselves. And sins of the heart will eventually manifest themselves. Okay? This is the official beginning of hostility towards Christ from the Pharisees and such. This is the beginning. Throughout the Gospels, we see four main problems. Four claims that they made against Jesus. They had four problems with Jesus. One, they called him a blasphemer because he went around forgiving people of their sin. And they said, that's blasphemy. And it would be blasphemy for any of us to do that. But they never considered that he might just be God. Okay? They never allowed that thought. They just said, this is a guy. He's upsetting our apple cart. He's a blasphemer. They never once considered, well, if he's not a blasphemer, then he has to be who he says he is. And he does say that he's God in the Scriptures. And they were going to stone him several times because of that. A lot of people say, oh, he never... Yeah, he did. That's why they were going to stone him. Second, he hung out with the wrong crew. He hung out with tax collectors and sinners. And they approached him on it. And they said, what are you eating with these people for? And he just said, well, you know, the ones that aren't sick don't need a hospital. You know, the ones that need healed, that's where I need to be. Third, he didn't do the things they said he should do. What do I mean by that? Remember when he said, you bear the people down with heavy burdens and you don't even lift a finger to help them? Because they added all these things to the Word of God. There were things that God commanded the Jews to do, and there was those things. But the Pharisees added like hundreds of things that were not in the Word of God. It was their thing. And you know what? Jesus didn't do those things. Because those weren't of God. Those were man-made rules. And they resented him for that because he was calling them out. He was, you know, it's like if somebody comes up to you and says something that, you know, like I had one lady, you know, say to me, God loves animals just like he loves humans. It's in the Bible. And I said, yeah, well, show me where. Now, I'm sure God loves the animals, but he didn't send Jesus to die for the animals, folks. He loves us way more. You know, Jesus said, you know, I look out, the Father looks out for the sparrows, and you are worth many sparrows. How much more will he look out after you? We are special. We are a special creation with a special relationship with God. And they had all these rules, and he's like, show me the book. It's not in there, so I'm not doing it. That's not rebellious. When you rebel against God. The things they were asking, those were not things God said. Fourth thing that he did, they thought he was a blasphemer. They said he hung out with sinners and publicans and he didn't do the duties. The fourth thing was he was always violating the Sabbath in their eyes. In another place he says, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? And then he just went ahead and healed them. And they were all flipping out over that. He says, is it not lawful to do good? Which one of you, if your ox fell in a ditch on the Sabbath, you would get him out? And yet I shouldn't heal this guy? And then he said what? The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He was teaching the right perspective. But boy, this was the beginning though, right here, at the very beginning of his ministry, this is when they're saying, I don't think I like this guy. He's doing stuff. And I can see where if this catches on, this is going to upset our little system we got going on here. They rebuked Jesus inwardly. You know, they weren't even man enough at that time to say it out loud. But later on they do, don't they? Later on they challenge him, and then they even try to grab him and stone him and all those things. But fourth, he turns it around on them. He reproves the scribes openly. Reproves means like corrects. Okay? Admonishes them. So it says, certain in verse 3, certain of the scribes said within himself, this man blasphemes. And then what does he do? And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your heart? Can you imagine? I mean, he sits there and he says, be cheerful. I mean, you got to take the picture in. Probably, you know, hundreds of people around this thing. Roof's been opened up. Paralyzed guy's laying there. And he says, be a good cheer. I'm sure, you know, it's probably dead quiet. And they're looking. And he says, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Then over here's these scribes and people. And he hears their thoughts. This guy's a blasphemer. So he turns and he looks at him and he goes, why do you think evil in your heart? Can you imagine if you're sitting there? I mean, put yourself in these guys' place. You're sitting there and you're watching this whole thing and you're thinking, this guy's evil. And then the guy looks you right in the eye and goes, why are you thinking evil in your heart? Oh. Yeah. You think that should have like woke them up a little bit? You know, like who this guy they're dealing with is? Must have been a Democrat. But remember, the Lord has perfect knowledge of all we say within ourselves. Sin, and listen, sins of the heart eventually manifest themselves both verbally and through our actions. Because that's what happened, right? At first, these guys are just thinking him, but pretty soon they're confronting him verbally, and then later on, they're actually trying to take him in. You know, they're trying to get a hold of him. And then, of course, eventually they get him crucified. But that was all part of the plan. And you see several times when they tried to grab him, they couldn't do it. And the Bible says, why? Because it was not his time yet. God was in control of the whole thing. There was no problem there. But nonetheless, the point is made. What starts in your heart soon comes out the mouth and then goes to your hands. You start doing it too. So they rebuked him inwardly, but he reproved them openly. He just did it in front of everybody. And then in 5 through 7, he restores the man. See, all this took place. He tells the guy, be cheerful, your sins are forgiven, and then all this other stuff went on. He still hasn't healed him yet. So then, knowing their thoughts, he says, why do you think evil in your heart? For whether it is easier to say, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. So he's talking to them. I mean, get the picture. Why you got evil in your heart? Is it easier to say forgive your sins, forgive someone of their sins, or arise and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins, then he turns to the guy on the floor there. Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Go home. Pick up your bed and go home. In verse 7, and he arose and departed to his house. You know, he had just asked the scribes, what do you think's easier? Tell them forgive your sin or ask this guy to get up and walk? And you know what? The scribes couldn't do either. They couldn't do either one. They could not forgive sin, and neither could they heal this guy. Because, you know, only God can do that. Jesus is demonstrating who he is. And he's telling them. What's easier? You know what? Both are easy for God. God says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. God says get up and walk, you can get up and walk. And you know, this guy, he got up and he walked. And you know, he didn't just kind of stagger to his feet and he's, you know, leaning on the thing, you know. No, this guy got up and he had strength and he had balance. He didn't have to learn how to walk like a small child has to learn how to walk. He had strength. He had balance. He just went and he picked up his bed and he carried it out. He asked him what was easier. They couldn't do either. They rightly thought that only God can forgive. And Jesus was reminding them, you know what? God only can forgive and God can only heal like that. Now, God made within our bodies the ability to heal. You know, I cracked my knuckle on a doorway trying to open a stuck door and it gave and it went, there was like a screw, there's always a screw right there, you know? And it just took the top right off of it, you know? But you know what? It's almost gone. And I didn't do anything. You know, my wife and, you know, she thinks I need to do all this first aid. I just kind of go like that. Yeah, it's all right. You know, it bled all over the place, but, you know. You know, but you know what? My body's healing up all by itself because God made it that way. You know, it's really quite a miracle. You know, a little thing like that is really quite a miracle that our bodies can do that. And, you know, in another week, I won't even know that thing was there. It's still like kind of a hole there. But it'll be gone. Probably have another scar, but I got scars all over my arms anyway from the work I used to do, so. But it all healed. Only God can do that. So to prove his deity, he heals the guy. See, he'd already ministered to his countenance, to his soul, told him to be cheerful. I'm forgiving your sins, which healed his spirit. Now he healed his body. And you know what? That's a God, that's a sovereignty of God issue. You know, a lot of people didn't get healed when Jesus was there. Remember, after Jesus had ascended and Peter and John went into the temple and there was a guy laying there that was paralyzed. It had been laying there, I think it was 37 years or 40 years or something like that. Well, that means that guy was in the temple. Every time Jesus went in the temple, that guy was laying there. Jesus never healed him. Now, Peter and John did. That guy had been there 40 years. You know, God doesn't heal everybody, folks, not in this life. Sometimes we do, and praise the Lord when he does. But he's sovereign. And sometimes things happen, and, you know, unfortunately, sometimes people die of those things. But we all know of people that have been healed of things. That's just God's sovereignty. And we just have to have faith in that. You just believe that, you know, God knows. He knows what's best. He's got a plan, whether it be in life or death. He can be glorified in our life and he can be glorified in our death as well. But he's sovereign. And Jesus, in his sovereignty, healed many. In fact, whenever it brings, sometimes the Bible said he healed them all. So everyone that came that day got healed. But there was still a whole bunch of people that didn't get healed that day in other places. But he restored the guy totally. Totally. Body, soul, and spirit. You know, we don't even know if there was other things wrong with the guy. I always often wondered about that. You know, like sometimes the guy would say, you know, different people that he healed, oh, I'm blind. And he healed him and he wasn't blind anymore. But I wondered, you know, was there other things wrong with the guy, but he didn't ask or... I don't know. Sometimes, well, like the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. But maybe the guy, you know, that was the biggest thing, and he wanted his eyesight, and he was willing to deal with the rest. You know, I don't know. Just things I think about. You know, it's weird, I know. Just sometimes I think those things. Just like, I wonder if he healed the whole thing, or just what they asked for. No. But then in verse 8, we see the response of the people. Not the Pharisees, just the multitudes. So he arose and departed to his house. You know, I find it interesting that he told him to go home. The only thing I can think of was he had been a burden to his house for however many years, and now maybe he was going to be a blessing. And so God just said, you know, Jesus said, go home, you know, and be a blessing. Now, you've been a burden. I mean, it is. When you got to take care of somebody like that, it's hard on everybody. You know, it takes effort. And sometimes it drains you emotionally, too, in those situations. But now he could be a blessing. Amen? And, you know, God does that. He'll take your burden, make you a blessing. Something only God can do. Things that we were burdened with, and then God does something in our life, and now we can be a blessing to someone. But verse 8, we see the response of the people. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power to men. You know, that word marveled means they wondered and they admired. Like I say, I don't think they quite grasped anything yet. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. I think some of the people kind of figured it out. I think Mary Magdalene figured it out pretty quick, and some of the other ladies, and certainly Jesus' mother knew. For sure. Some of the disciples, I think, were figuring it out. The ones that hung around him a lot. The people were just coming and they're like, wow, man, this guy does stuff. He's of God. They knew he was of God. They didn't know he was God necessarily. But man, they're starting to figure this out and they're going, wow. They admired him. They wondered. And it says they marveled, which is what that meant. And they glorified God, which means to recognize, honor, or praise. And so they recognized, man, this is of God. They weren't quite sure, probably, that he was God. But man, they're thinking about it. They're thinking about it. And so they glorify God, that what he had given such power to men, because right now they're still looking at him like he's a man, just a man. I mean, he was a man and is a man. Okay, because he did bodily ascend and he's bodily coming back. He's still, I believe, he's still flesh and blood in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. With the Father. But they weren't quite figuring this out. But they glorified God. They gave God the credit. They did what all of us should do when God works in our life. They glorified God. You know, give God the praise. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We got to always remember that. That's what the Bible says. Look, every person in this world is in need of healing. Is there anybody here that has absolutely nothing wrong with them? Raise your hand. I want to bring you up here. I mean, you got absolutely nothing wrong with you. It's all good. I mean, most of you are disqualified right off the bat. I can see, actually, because y'all got glasses on, okay? And I got contacts, so, you know. And that's just minor. You know, that's not even anything, you know, really. But you know what? And that's just the physical stuff. But I guarantee you there's a lot of us, if not all of us here, we got some emotional stuff going on too, don't we? And even some spiritual stuff. Oh, your spirit may be good because you're born again, but sometimes we hurt spiritually too, don't we? We kind of just hurt. And everybody, every single person deals with something. And let's be truthful, we deal with a lot of stuff. We do. The Bible makes two distinctions with the word heal. One is to cure miraculously, in the physical sense, like when Jesus said, pick up your bed and walk. Remember that word heal in Luke chapter 5, verse 17? I said, remember that word. Okay, that is not that word. It is another word that means to make whole. The power was present to make whole, Luke said. To heal completely. The power to make whole. Body, soul, and spirit. That's what that word means. The power was present to do that. And you know what? If you ever accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, your spirit was made. Your spirit was raised from the dead. It was made alive because you had a dead spirit. You had a spirit, but it was dead. Adam and Eve had a spirit that was alive. And when they sinned, you remember God told Adam, he said, the day you eat of the fruit, you will die that day. And we're like, wow, he still lived 900 years. Yeah, but his spirit died that day. Beginning at that moment, he needed a Savior, just like you and me. And that's why God gave the promise to Adam and Eve and said to Eve, said, your seed, there's a seed of you is going to come and the serpent's going to bruise him, but he's going to crush the serpent's head. Satan, sin, and the penalty of all those things. So we all got a spirit and it starts off dead. When you're born, you're alive physically, but you're not alive spiritually. And when you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the miraculous happens. And you are made whole. And your spirit comes alive. And now it begins to witness to your soul, your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions. And it begins to cure you of all those things. You know, what do our emotions do? Oh, we have envy and jealousy and we have greed and, you know, we have pride and all those things. You know, just selfishness, all those things that make up our soul. And the Spirit begins to work and minister into it, and it begins to change us. And no matter what happens in this life, at some point when you have done that, you will die, and then that's when your body will be good. You know, when that last resurrection takes place, and the body's come up and we're reunited with it, it's not going to need glasses and it's not going to need a back brace or a knee replacement. You know, it's not going to need any of that stuff. It's miraculous. But the power was present to make whole. Jesus ministers to all of us. And I don't mean all of us. I mean all of us. Spirit, soul, and body. Our whole being. He wants to do that. He's concerned with all of our being. He has shown us that he is able to heal spirit, soul, and body. And the key to it all is having an active faith that is rooted in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Because that's what gives you the strength to go forward. When the body does hurt, when you are down emotionally, when you are spiritually, like sometimes we're just crushed, even spiritually sometimes by things that happen. Remember last week, the title of the message, Satan's Workings. He's working on you every day. Some way, somehow, He wants our spirits to be down. But we don't have to be. Be of good cheer. Your sins have been forgiven. We got to remember that. So when you do what? When you have an active faith through faith in God through Jesus Christ, no matter what part of you is broken, Jesus has the power to make you whole to the glory of the Father. Tremendous passage of great hope and encouragement is what this is. And we need encouragement. It's a dark world. But God's got all this, folks. And if you know the Lord, it's all good. The end comes out really good. And we got to remember that. Is there anybody here today that maybe you need to realize maybe your faith has been directed in the wrong direction? Maybe you've been believing in good works, or maybe you just think you're a good person and you're putting your faith in that. And, you know, if you are a good person, I'm glad. You know, I hope we all ought to be good people. But unfortunately, the Bible says being good isn't good enough. The Bible says you just got to place your faith in what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the price for your sin. Your sin, my sin, sin of the world. There had to be a payment. Jesus was the payment. You place your faith in that, and based on that faith, you ask God to forgive you. And you know what? It's almost like He says, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. You can smile in the face of adversity. But if you've never made that decision, please, please, please consider making that decision. It is literally your eternity that I'm talking about. Because in the end, there's no gray area. You are either born again or you're not. You are either alive spiritually or you're not. And the ones that are will be with the Lord forever in heaven. The ones that are not will be forever in a place called hell, the lake of fire. In fact, hell is thrown into the lake of fire, the Bible says, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's not for a day or for a year or even for 10,000 years or a million years. It is forever. And I find that hard to grasp. I cannot comprehend it. But nonetheless, I know it is true. Because that's what the Bible says. And if you've never made that decision, I sure hope you will. And I hope you make it today, because you know what the Bible also says? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. You make that decision today. For the rest of us, are you of good cheer? I know there is pain in this room. I know there's heartache in this room. I know of things. I don't know everything. I'm not the Lord. I don't know everything that you're dealing with inside, but I know there's a lot. I know a lot of your situations, and I know there's a lot of pain in this room, and reason that we would say would be a good reason not to be cheerful. In the human sense, that's true. But in the spiritual sense, we should be cheerful, because our sins have been forgiven. And I hope if you are dealing with something hard that maybe you'll change your focus a little bit. Doesn't make that part better, but it can make your heart better. May not change what you're dealing with, but it can change how you respond to it. Do you have an active faith? Are you doing whatever it is God, you know, I don't know what it might be. I mean, what's God told you to do? I hope you're doing it. Or maybe there's some that are really focused on one thing, one specific thing, and it's kind of bringing everything else down with you. Maybe you just need to get your focus off of that. It doesn't mean you ignore it. I mean, if it's something that's got to be dealt with, you deal with it. But let's get the focus back on the Lord where it belongs. Be of good cheer. Your sins have been forgiven. If you can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've never done that. I just like prayer. You slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. If there's anybody watching online, I pray you give me a call or email me or whatever. Email the church. Love to talk to you. For the rest of us, how many would say, you know what, I need to be of good cheer, and I haven't been that way in a while, and I recognize that. Slip your hand up if you're that way. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. How many would say, I need to exercise my faith a little more. I've not been doing a lot, and I need to grow in that area. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I've been a little focused on, there's stuff going on and I've been focused on it, and I need to get a little balance on that. I need to get some more focus on what God has done in my life and kind of remember that. Anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray for these that lifted their hand up, Lord, and admitted to you what you already knew was in their heart, Lord. And Father, I do pray that you would minister to them in that area. Lord God, that your working in their life would be evident to others. Father God, help us all to be of good cheer. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. God has brought something to your mind. This is your time. He knows what it is, but you need to bring it to Him. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you grateful for your working in all of us, Lord, our body, yes, but also our soul and our spirit, Lord. Thank you for that. Father God, help us to be mindful of all that you are doing in our lives, in all three of those areas. Lord, may we be a people that are cheerful in you and glorifying you, Lord, in all that we think, say, and do, Lord. May people see us, Lord, and see us glorifying you, that some may indeed listen, and that some may indeed respond. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.